get me a drink of water. Kinda.
You want a drink?
Yeah, please. As I look out here today, I think there's a lot of people that might rather be standing here than myself. But 2 weeks ago, my testimony of my standing here today, I had a feeling, although I didn't know that I would be asked to preach. Thank you. And at that time, I was given a message. I didn't know whether it was going to be for here or whether it was going to be when I preach next Sunday in Phoenix. But when my dad told me the other night to be expecting to preach this afternoon, I knew that that message was meant for today. I want to start reading in the third chapter of Jacob in your Book of Mormon. On page 185, for all that are following along. And here Jacob speaks of a condition, or actually the prophet Zenos does, that was going to be in the latter day. In verse 125, I'm going to start. It says, "Wherefore go to and call servants, that we may labor diligently with our mites in the vineyard, that we may prepare the way, that I may bring forth again the natural fruit, which natural fruit is good and most precious above all other fruit. Wherefore let us go to and labor with our mites this last time, for behold, the end draweth nigh, and this is the last time that I shall prune my vineyard." And then I'm going to skip over to verse 136. It says, "And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant. And the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, Go to and labor in the vineyard with your mites. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mites with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. And it came to pass that the servants did go and labor with their mites, and the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them, and they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. And there began again, and there began to be the natural fruit again in the vineyard, and the natural branches began to grow and thrive exceedingly. And the wild branches began to be plucked off and to be cast away, and they did keep the root and the top thereof equal according to the strength thereof. And thus they labored with all diligence according to the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard, even until the bad had been cast away out of the vineyard, and the Lord had preserved unto himself that the trees had become again the natural fruit. And they became like unto one body, and the fruit were equal, and the Lord of the vineyard had preserved unto himself the natural fruit, which was most precious unto him from the beginning. And it came to pass that when the Lord of the vineyard saw that his fruit was good, and that his vineyard was no more corrupt, he called up his servants, and said unto them, Behold, for this last time have we nourished my vineyard, and thou beholdest that I have done according to my will. And I have preserved the natural fruit that is good, even like it was in the beginning, and blessed art thou. I want you to catch this next verse. For because ye have been diligent in laboring with me in my vineyard, and have kept my commandments, and have brought unto me again the natural fruit, that my vineyard is no more corrupt, and the bad is cast away, behold, ye shall have joy with me because of the fruit of my vineyard. Because they were diligent in laboring. I want to turn to Mark, the 10th chapter. Here in the 10th chapter of Mark, there's a pretty familiar reading. In the 17th verse, I want to start. It says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' The question was posed, 'What do I have to do?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Christ asked for him to sacrifice part of his life. I want to talk today about sacrifice. Something that is needed today to do the Lord's work. Something that's asked of every member of the Church of Christ. In the 14th chapter of Luke, I want to read, starting in the 25th verse, it says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." You know, we're not used to thinking in terms of hate. But Christ asked something of us here. He asked that we don't look at ourselves, and we don't look at any other person first. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it?" You know, I don't think he was just talking about buildings here. He's talking about our lives and the things that we do in our lives. When we entered the waters of baptism, did we count the cost? Did we count the cost that the Lord says, "You've got to keep my commandments"? Did we count the cost that he said we have to deny ourselves? Did we have to put the world out of our lives? "Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000 so he asks us, "Have we counted the cost?" You know, there's several places that he talks when he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Christ's commandment. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, we find out, and what does he say? He said, "Let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." He gave us a duty in life. This man that we read about in Mark, that had great possessions, Christ asked him to sacrifice those things and to come and follow him. And likewise, today, he's asking us, Church of Christ, are you willing to sacrifice? I want to read in the 8th chapter of Mark. 34th verse says, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would come after him, we've got to deny ourselves, our desires, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And then in the 36th verse, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If we gained everything, if we didn't deny ourselves one bit, and we went out in the world and we became a millionaire, what good does it do us? Doesn't do us any good. There's nothing we could take with us. So we have to think of these things that he's asked of us. You know, in Alma, the 16th chapter, in verse 228, he says, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God. He gave it for a reason. I want to read about some men. Before Christ's time, the 12th chapter of Alma, men that gave, that sacrificed their lives. On page 362, I want to read a small part of the account of the sons of Mosiah. In the first verse, it says, now it came to pass that as Alma was journeying from the land of Gideon southward, away to the land of Manti, behold, to his astonishment, he met the sons of Mosiah journeying towards the land of Zarahemla. Now these sons of Mosiah were with Alma at the time the angel first appeared unto him. Therefore Alma did rejoice exceedingly to see his brethren. And what added more to his joy, they were still his brethren in the Lord, yea, and they had waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth. For they were men of sound understanding, and they had searched the Scriptures diligently that they might know the Word of God. You know, today, there's so many things we could do in life to take away our time to search the Scriptures, take away our time that needs to be given to the Lord. And that's why he asked of us to deny ourselves. Time when I might want to do something of myself, to go somewhere and do something of my pleasure. Am I willing to deny myself of that? There's so many things in our world today that bind us. So many things calling for us. You can do this and you can do that. There's millions of things to do. That if we didn't take time for the Lord, we could be caught up and carried away. But this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority, even as with the power and authority of God. And they had been teaching the Word of God for a space of 14 years, among the Lamanites, having had much success in bringing many to the knowledge of the truth. These men gave something, as we'll read just a little bit farther. Sometimes I wonder about us today. You know, it's kind of a burden on my heart when I see such potential in the Church of Christ. This last month, they had more opportunity to talk with people that were hungering. They said, where are you people at? Where have you been? I've never even heard of you before in all my life. People we sat and talked with all day, wanting to know, wanting to learn the plan of salvation. I've often heard said, the church is lacking in gifts. The church is lacking in this and that. But we ourselves are part of that lacking. If we cannot learn to deny ourselves of our desires and place our desires in a way that Christ would have us, Him first, we're no better than any that have gone before us. The prophets of old, they had to search, they had to pray, they had to fast. They had to put their efforts, their earnest efforts, and the Lord used them. But we can't sit around today and expect the Lord's going to do the same for us when we haven't given of ourselves. Yea, by the power of their words, many were brought before the altar of God to call on His name and confess their sins before Him. Now these are the circumstances which attended them in their journeys, for they had many afflictions, and they did suffer much, both in body and in mind, such as hunger, thirst, and fatigue, and also much labor and spirit. Now these were their journeys, having taken leave of their father Mosiah in the first year of the reign of Judges, having refused the kingdom which their father was desirous to confer upon them, and also this was the mind of the people. Here these young men could have been kings. They had the opportunity to have a kingdom, to have riches, to have honor. But because of their love of the gospel, they denied these things. And they went and they preached. For 14 years. 14 years. And the Lord used them because of this desire. Nevertheless, they departed out of the land of Zarahemla and took their swords and their spears, and their bows and their arrows and their slings, that they might provide food for themselves while in the wilderness. And thus they departed in the wilderness with their numbers, which they had selected to go up to the land of Nephi to preach the word of God unto the Lamanites. And it came to pass that they journeyed many days in the wilderness, and they fasted much and prayed much, that the Lord would grant unto them a portion of His Spirit to go with them and abide with them, that they might be an instrument in the hands of God, bring, if it were possible, their brethren, the Lamanites, to the knowledge of the truth, to the knowledge of the baseness of the traditions of their fathers, which were not correct. And it came to pass that the Lord did visit them with His Spirit, and said unto them, Be comforted, and they were comforted. And the Lord said unto them also, Go forth among the Lamanites, thy brethren, and establish my word. Yet ye shall be patient in long-suffering and afflictions, that ye may show forth good examples unto them and me, and I will make an instrument of thee in my hands unto the salvation of many souls. And it came to pass that the hearts of the sons of Mosiah, and also those that were with them, took courage to go forth unto the Lamanites and to declare unto them the word of God. You know, they put their trust in the Lord. They asked. They prayed. And the Lord answered, comforted them. He didn't deliver them from all their afflictions. But He told them, be patient, and I'll use you. I want to read of another man before the time of Christ, and heal him in the second chapter, third chapter. I want to start. It's on page 577. And before I read this, the things that happened beforehand was Nephi was in his garden praying. He had come back from the land northward, and he went back to Zarahemla to his house. And he saw the wickedness of the people, and he went out and he prayed in his garden on the tower. And the multitudes of people gathered around and said, What are you sad for? And what's wrong? So he told them of their sins, their iniquities, their need to return to God. So there were some lawyers determined to take him, and if they could, slay him. And then he prophesied that their chief judge was murdered. And they went and found that that's exactly what happened. And they came and said, well, you had something to do with it. And the Lord showed him the man that did. And he told them, go to this man, you'll find blood on his skirt. And he'll tell you that I had nothing to do with it. And there were some that believed, but many of them didn't. In the 113th verse, it says, now it came to pass that Nephi went his way towards his own house, pondering upon the things which the Lord had shown unto him. And it came to pass, as he was thus pondering, being much cast down because of the wickedness of the people, of the Nephites, their secret works of darkness, and their murderings, and their plunderings, and all manner of iniquities. And it came to pass that as he was thus pondering in his heart, behold, a voice came unto him, saying, blessed art thou, Nephi, for those things which thou hast done. For I have beheld how thou hast with unwaringness declared the word which I have given unto thee unto this people. And thou hast not feared them, and hast not sought thine own life, but hast sought my will, and to keep my commandments. That's an important part right there. He didn't seek himself. He didn't seek riches, the desires that is natural to humans, to have something to call your own. But he sought first to do God's will. And now because thou hast done this with such unwaringness, behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will make thee mighty in word and in deed, in faith and in works, yea, even that all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word. For thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will. So here's some keys. You say, why don't we have some of these things? Why are we lacking? Our lack of self-sacrifice, our lack of diligence in seeking God's will. I want to read in Luke, the 9th chapter. Verse. It says, and it came to pass that they went in the way. A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You take note of that. When we put our steps in serving Christ, put our desires in that way, and we start looking back and putting our desires back in, we're not going to be fit. I want to read in the 14th chapter of Luke. Of another man that was caused to sacrifice. I want to read in the 25th verse. However, I think I got the wrong one. Hang on a second here. I'm going to read in St. John, 12th chapter. In the 23rd verse. It says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." You can read in the scriptures the things that Christ endured. As the sons of Mosiah did. And last of all, life. But he gloried in it. So it brings us up to our day. We've read of men of that gave sacrifice. What of the Church of Christ today? How much sacrifice do we see? I've often wondered, if those that have gone, I remember stories of my great-grandfather, things in his life. He was a young man. He sacrificed much. They never had much, but he preached the gospel. He went out. He labored. So now I'm speaking of a minister. But there's many that could tell you that many times his wife sacrificed, not seeing him. The times the family was about to perish for want of food. But the Lord took care of them. And when he come back home, they'd say, "I'm going to stay and work." And she said, "No, Jim, you got to go back out and preach the gospel." She gave up something in her life. Sometimes I think that in this day that we live, we, the young people of this church, not just that, the older people, we kind of settle it in our hearts. We can't do anything until we retire. So we leave it to six men. And a few others. Have we set things in our life that if the Lord came today and said, "I need someone, could you say I will go?" It doesn't make a difference how old you are. You know, there's times I have to look in my life and say, I don't want to get tied down with things of the world. If I could just but know what the Lord wanted me to do. So I have to ask. We could talk of Sybil and Ted, the reason why this local here today. I could talk of Anna Keeney. Women that gave much. Sacrificed much for the gospel and the impact they left today. The wives that have been supported to their husbands. You know, it's not for everybody to go in the missionary field. I hope I don't put that across. There were those that had to stay and run a local. But all too often, I think, that we settle it in our minds that we have to be older before we can step out, before we can be supportive. And yet, like I said, you know, this last month I've seen so many that are hungering, saying, where are your people? I've searched for years and I've never found them. I remember a saying of an old missionary that I had occasion to talk to. He was out in the field for about 6 months and he had an opportunity to go home. And he was there about 2 weeks and he got a call and he had to go again. He said he went out and he was saddened in a way. He pulled over by the side of the road and he wept because he had to leave his family. But he kept going. Do we see sacrifice like that today? Are we willing to sacrifice time in our life? Are we willing to sacrifice earthly treasures? In the area that I live in, if I want to get a house right now, I'm for sure I'm in debt for 30 years, if not more, at such a price that there's no way I could avail myself to go in the gospel because my time would have to be spent working, and anyone that is married, most of the time, both of them have to. And it's the conditions of the world that we live in that have put us in this. And you know, we can't go out and sell our houses. But have we spiritually prepared ourselves? Have we given up of ourselves and asked, what is it that I can do? There's elders in Yucatan. How many locals usually does an elder pastor, Don? Anywhere from 3 to 5 locals to the elders down there pastor. They travel constantly. Almost every night is spent in service for the Lord. Take sacrifice. Something that, you know, up here, it's so different than there. There's so many more things available for us to do. Well, we might take time for some kind of enjoyment, or maybe we should be home studying, or maybe we should be visiting somebody that's sick, or maybe we should be talking to somebody that has an interest in the gospel. But I hope that we slip today. Ask yourself, how much are you willing to sacrifice? Have you prayed about it? You know, every one of these men that we read today, these gifts that the Lord gave them, is because they worked in the gospel. They worked with all their hearts. They put everything into it, all their efforts. And I've wondered within myself, you know, am I worthy for as much for these gifts that they have if I'm not doing the work? If I'm sitting at home and relaxing and letting other people carry the burden of the gospel, how can I expect that the Lord's going to bless me in the same way? He's going to make these gifts so many in my life if I'm not going to use them for His work. Even at the end of Mark there, when He sent them out, He said, go ye out into all the world and preach the gospel. And then He told them the signs that would follow them. But we can't expect the same thing if we're not willing of ourselves to open that door. Have we given the proper sacrifices in our life to say,
I'm ready, Lord. If you want me to stay here, I'll stay. If you want me to go, I'm ready to go. Wherever you want. If you want me to stay here to local for the rest of my life, to give it my support, that's where I'll be. Whatever we have to ask for. Laura. And I wonder sometimes, I know in my life I've lacked in this. Ask me, what's your will for me? What do you want me to do? How can I avail myself to see the gospel of Christ grow? What kind of sacrifices? You know, not everybody's asked to make the same sacrifices in life. We're each asked to make a sacrifice and put the world out of our lives. But we're not all asked to make the same sacrifices. We might not all be a missionary for the Lord. We might not all be a mother or a wife that is trying to bring one that isn't in the gospel in. We're trying to be a strength to a local. We're trying to be a support to a missionary husband, to her husband that is a pastor. So I hope today we can see this picture in our lives. This thing that we need is the body of Christ. I've heard so many prayers saying, Lord, touch the church. Help it to be working and up and moving. Yet we have to be willing to sacrifice. If we wanted the Book of Mormon printed, we have to be willing to sacrifice money out of your wallet for a cause. If you want the gospel to go forth, you've got to give your time, your sacrifice. And then, speaking of Zion, I remember a man in the song, The Admonition. He says, get ye up then to your mountain. He said, you know what that mountain is? It's the mountain of sacrifice. Are you willing to put aside the things of the world? To love one another, to put away disputings and silly contentions. Are you willing to come to God with your might and diligently serve? In closing, I'll read out of Mark, the 10th chapter. Began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brother or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, that he shall receive a hundredfold. A promise. You know, there's nothing really in life that's worth anything more than the reward. There's nothing in life, no treasure, no amount of money, no amount of great jewels, no amount of pleasure, here and gone, really means nothing in life. I'm not trying to put forth that you can't ever take time for this. However, sometimes it's
this need for sacrifice of ourselves. But he chose to be a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children, the lands, the persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Anyone that is willing to sacrifice, anyone that's willing to serve, anyone that's willing to see the Church of Christ grow, to see its members striving wholeheartedly, that's what it takes. It's that you can't expect. You can't expect to get the same things done with less work, with less desire in our hearts, with less sacrifice than any that's ever gone before us. We ask the same of all men. What are you willing to sacrifice in your life? Are you willing to set aside the things that would make you unwilling or unable to do the Lord's will if He called? To make you unable to say, "Lord, here am I, send me." Think on these things. For it's the basis of life eternal. It's the basis of progress in anyone's spiritual life. To be willing to give all. To give up all for us, and to give all for the master men.
Small help in this world. And we thank you for the name of Jesus Christ.